You know, when Marie and I travel over to the UK, we get the privilege of ministering at these two gentlemen that are here with us, helping us with the conference, their churches. But one of the main reasons we go over there is the Empower Conference. Over the last few years, we've been privileged to go to that conference, and we've seen the Lord touch so many lives over those years. It's expanding people's vision. That's something that's an anointing on that this conference, expands their vision for their life, their vision for their purpose. And then over the last year or so, God's really been using Pastor Andy and Pastor Derek to start encouraging the church about the power of the Spirit and living in that everyday life. And in this last year, we saw so many people come to Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, saw people get breakthroughs all over the place. It was just so awesome. And I was so excited when Pastor Andy said, would you be open to hosting Empower at your church? And I was like, absolutely. Absolutely. That's like someone saying, hey, do you want in on the ground floor of Apple Computers? Absolutely. I want in on the ground floor of Apple Computers. Praise God. And so I just hope today that you really are coming in great faith. It's not these guys. It's not myself. We know it's Jesus. But God has divine appointments for us. Now, Pastor Andy's become a really dear friend to myself and dear friend to here to the church. You've heard him minister a number of times. He comes. He brings such a powerful word. But he has such a way to help us see the word. He paints that picture, and he opens your heart in such a way. And God has really put this word in his heart that he's bringing with you today. It's a word of restoration of things to the church. And as he's speaking, I just believe the Holy Spirit is just piling those things into your life and bringing it. Because again, we don't want to listen to him like he's just a man. No, he's an amazing man. But we want to hear him as if the Lord has something to say through him, right? Would you please receive Pastor Andy Elms?
Hey, praise God. Come on, let's stay standing. Let's lift our hands. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Dance with the word of God and create new horizons within me. I open my heart to you. Do what you want to do. Amen. Give Jesus a big round of applause today. Fantastic. It is such a privilege to be here again. We love Life Church, and you know, just the privilege of having a whole weekend together is amazing. Amen. It's going to be a powerful, life-changing weekend. I'm believing that what we see in England, we're going to see exactly the same, if not more, here this weekend. Amen. You know, in England, we do it on a Friday night for a kickoff, and then we go through Saturday. And by Saturday night, which is next, for this week, it's tomorrow afternoon, God does so much in the lives of people and transforms. This isn't just a meeting about me, the leader, you, the leader, how to be the best leaders we can be. This is about, come on, God, get all over us. Kick some stuff out of us. Knee us if you need to. Just, God, shake us right side up. Amen. Fantastic. Listen, before I get into the word, I want to show you something really powerful. Pastor Kevin, would you come up here, please? This is my good friend, Pastor Kevin Kringle. Can I introduce you to my executive pastor? I'm just going to leave this for you just to watch. Pastor Stuart Payne, would you come up and join us? Is anybody noticing anything? Is it just me? I want to introduce you to the assistant or the executive pastor of Pastor Derek Smith today, because this is just truly incredible. Pastor Adam Islip, will you come up here, please? Is it just me? They could be a boy band. They could be the Hosanna Brothers. Forget the Jonas Brothers. This is the Hosanna Brothers. Now, we've had discussions with parents and everybody's denying everything. But I don't know. But one thing I know is all three of them are incredibly great men. So let's give them a big round of applause as they sit down. I mean, you can't let things like that slip. We saw that by revelation in England, and we thought that's what we're going to share in America when we get there. Amen. So we can all go now. That's really what we wanted to show you, and I hope that you enjoyed that. Listen, wasn't that praise and worship incredible tonight? God is able. I mean, come on. We're coming in a time where church fashion is changing, and we're losing a lot of words to get back to the significant ones. Now, I know there's some people that it took them years to learn the words to the song Hosanna. I've got people that are still working on that. They're like, what's the next bit again? It's Hosanna. What comes up? Hosanna. But do you know, sometimes we can crowd our songs with so many words that we actually don't get out of our soul because we're so busy trying to keep up with the changing words. And what I love about what God's doing at the moment is there's a fresh simplicity coming upon the worship again that's causing us to be able to enter in, open our hearts, and let God begin to minister. The young lady that led that song, I mean, she could just record that voice reading Bible bedtime stories, couldn't she? I mean, how smooth that... Seriously? Seriously? And then the Lord said, come over to the other side. I'd be like, more, just tell me the next... You guys were brilliant tonight. Do you know, I came in here excited, but by the time you guys had finished, man, I felt just a closeness to God. And that's not sing-along. That's anointing. That's anointing. Listen, I want to share some things. We're going to have an incredible couple of days together. But I really want to lay a platform tonight and just kind of speak about what the heart is of what we're doing here tonight and tomorrow. That the heart of this conference is reformation. That so often in Christianity, you hear the words revival and renewal. My personal persuasion is we don't need revival or renewal. America and England desperately need a reformation. But I don't know what revival is. And often when I ask people what they mean when they pray send revival, they don't know either. But we all kind of know it's something to do with the Holy Ghost changing things and rearranging things. The problem is, maybe it's not God's move. Maybe it's our move. Maybe us screaming at God, send revival from our prayer closet with no intention of doing anything to see the world saved, won't work. But if we could understand again by revelation that we are not mere men, we are temples of the Holy Ghost. I'm not preaching anything new tonight. The modern church has too many new things it's got in the cupboard it's not even using. And they don't need them. What we need to do is consider maybe some of the things that aren't new, but some of the things that have worked through many generations. So the heart of this conference isn't we're going to preach revival, make you jump up and jump high, but not walk straight when you land. It's not going to be let's whip up a frenzy, but we're going to have incredible times with the Holy Spirit. But we're coming with a desire in our heart. God, we want to see reformation in our nation. We're not going to pray prayers of revival and send renewal. We're going to pray real gutsy prayers of let's see a reformation. Let's see the church in England and America reformed, not to something new that hasn't been, but to something old that has always been. But when I pray about reformation, I'm not talking about all things trendy, though I love all things trendy. I own a pair of skinny jeans, so don't push me. I may wear them this weekend. But skinny jeans are not going to change the world. They will change how high you sing, depending how skinny they are. When I speak about reformation, I'm talking about us reforming, resetting, recalibrating, not around something new, but rather around something old, something original, something primitive. The early church had a recipe for a church that could change the world. You know, over the years, I've referred to myself as a revivalist because it's catchy and you can wear flashy jeans and do good moves when you're preaching. I'm a revivalist. But I've realized revivalists aren't going to change the planet. Reformers are. People that dare to stand up for what is represented by God. Things that matter to God. And say to the church, these things matter to God and they need to matter to us. When we lay the tracks of reform and bring the church back to looking and sounding like Jesus again, I believe then whatever you think revival is will travel on those tracks and we will see nations and cities changed by the power of God. But we've got to move from pointing the finger at God to pointing the finger back at us, not with obligation, but with hearts filled with desire. We want the Great Commission to matter to us. We want to know the power of the Holy Ghost, not just in our meetings, but in our lifestyles. That's kind of where I'm coming from tonight. I love the modern church and I'm a builder of the modern church, but my persuasion is that the modern church really doesn't need anything new. We actually need to begin to rediscover and refine, this is just my opinion, some things that we've lost en route to becoming modern and attractional, to becoming a place where people feel welcome. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against any of the journey. A few years ago, church was such an unwelcome place and we were praying stupid prayers like, why don't people come? It's because they never felt welcome. They never felt comfortable. They never felt invited. The church has come a long way in the last few years and we now have a church that, in the right sense, is correctly decorated, that people can come to the house of God and experience God, but sit in comfort and be treated like they're valuable sons and not just people and sinners walking in. I love where the church has come, but I think sometimes as we've been busy redecorating the church, maybe we forgot to bring some furniture back in to the house that we've made so pleasant for God and man. You know, when we compare ourselves to the first church, it's amazing that in comparison to the first church, we have so much with our gadgets and our gizmos and our bits and bobs and our smoke machines and all. But in comparison to the early church, we're not doing much. Maybe if we stopped being distracted by the new things that we have and focus again on some original things like what God wants us to be, and what God wants us to do, and what God considers valuable, we could actually, without losing anything, become a tool in the hand of God that could shake nations in an incredibly significant way. Now, when I talk about returning to an old DNA, I'm speaking of a DNA, not a style. Some of you are listening tonight and say, oh, I'm thanking God for this preacher. He's going to allow me to play my Jewish medley CD again. No, I'm not talking about ways we did things in the 70s. Some of you are manning your shofar as I speak, pulling out a secret flag. I mean, some of you are like, oh, we're going back to the 60s or the 70s. No, no, we're going back further. We're going back to the DNA of the early church, a church that knew how to be attractional, but a church that also knew how to walk in the power of God. You know, when I look at the early church and I look at my ministry, I'm challenged, aren't you? That there's a gap that's too big. But when I look at what they were doing in everyday life, and then I see what I'm doing in everyday life, I'm left discontent with a good discontent that makes me want to do something about it. When they turned up in a city or a town, demons fled, sick were healed, shadows caused people to be healed. When I turn up, they put the kettle on. So you want coffee? The gap between what they knew, not in their meetings, but in their everyday life, and what I know and experience, the gap is too big. But I want to do something that causes the gap to lessen. Not that we would return to any way or style of worship, but that we would discover the DNA of that church that God loves. So my driving question tonight is this. Do we actually need anything new? Is that the need of the church that's represented in England and America today. And I just loved that moment when you just covered us in the colours of the British flag during the beginning there. We were overwhelmed when the red, white and blue began to fall. I said, surely these people love our nation. Anyway, moving on. Though it's good to be back in the colonies. Anyway. And the Queen sends her greetings to each and every one of you. Kiss on the forehead from Mama. She loves you. Anyway, moving on. I don't know where that came from. Do we actually need anything new, or do we need to rediscover some old things? These are some thoughts I want to throw out just to launch this week. We've got to understand that church is not a new gift. It's an old gift. The church isn't a new gift made in our generation for this generation. The church is an old gift that we're repackaging in such a way that this generation can experience the power of it in the ways that other generations did. Let me put it another way. We're a cake that's very old with many layers, that though we think sometimes that we're the first church or we exist as the church, we are the church, we need to remain conscious that there was a church before us and a church before them and a church before them, that we are building who we are on layers of legacy. And we need to make sure that as we play with new icing or frosting, I'm in America. See how cross-cultural I am then? I can just switch like nothing happened. Though we may be crazy about our new frosting, we need to remember the ingredients must stay the same. If we want to see people transformed, you know, I'm just tired of not hearing the new creation preached in a lot of the modern church. They've replaced the message on new creation with behavior modification. The Bible doesn't preach behavior modification. It speaks divine transformation by the word and the spirit. So a person is born again. People writing books on how to be the best you. Well, the Bible says the best you is a dead you. When you realize that you're not meant to sustain who you were, old has gone, new has come. We're a cake of many layers. Listen, I just want to repent to some of the men in here. I'm really embarrassed about this, but I'm an authentic guy and I just want to be open. I was walking in my living room, my lounge living room, for the English and the American, so everybody can partake in the revelation. It's hard sometimes. My cranium throbs with this stuff. I was walking through my lounge living room, and when I walked through, I saw something on TV, and I know I shouldn't have sat and watched it. I couldn't stop. I saw it, and I should have walked on by. I should have just said, no, that's not right. I shouldn't, no. I just want to apologize to all the guys, and I want to be up front and say, no, I did. I went there. I watched a baking show. I let you down, I know. I'm so sorry. I only did it because my wife was watching it, and I wanted just to be close with her. And as I sat and watched this baking show, I felt guilt. I felt overwhelmed that I was letting generations of men down, especially the rednecks. I was letting them down. I was playing with things that shouldn't be played with in any redneck home. This is just no. But somewhere God was in it. And as I was watching this show on baking, I was watching this show and they made a cake that was a European cake, and it never had one or two layers, it had 21. And that was pretty impressive, and that's what made me stop. It wasn't just a willfulness to what, I just couldn't, 21 layers? I mean, I've experienced two or three layers with some cream, but this was 21 layers. And I said, surely not. And they started to make this cake, and they'd pour a bit of a batter, a bit of a mixture, and then they would kind of grill it or bake it, and they would keep on adding layers, but each layer was made of the same recipe. And at the end of it, they put some frosting and some icing for our British friends. This is exhausting me. And they brought this cake out. And as they cut the cake, they removed a slice. And it was a wonder to behold that there were 21 layers to this cake. And you say, surely God couldn't speak in a moment like that. Yeah, he did. He went there. He spoke to me. Because God's able. Yes, he is. He is. He went there. And as I looked at it, I saw this slice of 21 layers, and I felt God speak to me in that moment watching that, and he said, that's like my church, and you need to realize you're not the only layer. Don't live like you're the layer that was there in the beginning. You're one layer built upon many layers, made up of men that laid down their life for some of these doctrines that are being so easily replaced. But it's built on layers of men and women that dared to give their lives and their time for some of the stuff that the modern church wants to throw out so casually. But if we throw out some of these ingredients, all we'll be is a club, and we won't change the world being a club. We need to be a spirit-filled, blood-bought church. We can laugh sometimes at some of the things the old-timers did, and I was guilty of making fun of those things because I was born again when I was 9, and church then looks different to what church does now. So different. I mean, look at all this stuff. We never had that when I was 9. What we had was some men in grey suits sitting at the back on 12 chairs. And you couldn't get up there unless you had a grey suit, grey hair, and braces that started here where your trousers stopped. And they went up just to hang you, so they swung. One size fits all. And that was the church I came into, but at the time we didn't know because we didn't have all this stuff. And we didn't have all these gizmos and gadgets and screens. We had an overhead projector. And it was like that, a light bulb on an arm, like a Dalek. And because it was manually operated, you had to have someone that you couldn't find anything else in the church to do, to change the acetates. Do you call them acetates? The little plastic bits that had the words written on. And when you were in a rich church, they typed them. In my church, they were handwritten, which meant sometimes we were singing things. I remember singing "For This Porpoise, Christ Was Revealed." And I was thinking, what has a sea animal got to do with this? Everything was so different. We used to sing songs like "Bind Us Together." And little ladies this side wanted to take your hand and swing. I remember when I was just back with God, not long I was that much saved. They said, "Hold hands and sing 'Bind Us Together.'" And I looked this side and there was this sweet old lady. I said, "All right, love, go on. It's yours. Go on, have it." And then on this side, there was this big guy. And I was like, "No, we don't do that. I was this much saved." And he offered me his hand. I went, no, thank you. No. And I thought he'd back off, but he didn't. So I put my hand in my pocket to keep it safe. He went in after it. Went there. And I looked at him, and though I was singing "Bind Us Together," I looked at him and said, "I'm going to slap the snot out of you in a minute." The songs were so different. And when they did communion, none of his little cups, the goblet, that sorted people sitting where they sat and people coming late. You didn't sit near the back. By the time that goblet got to you, it was like beef stew. But it was all right, they gave you a tissue. That sorted it, didn't it? That dealt with the lumps. No, you sat as close as you could, so you got first swig. Oh, how things have changed. How things have changed. Leadership structure. You started leadership structure by operating the overhead projector. You were on team. You didn't let anyone receive the offering or give out communion. You had to have sinned Moses. and have a grey suit and red braces. Listen, I'm making some fun there, but I want to make some really serious point now. They may have done things in a strange way to us in our modern existence of church experience, but they were good at getting people born again. They were good at producing people that read their Bible. They were good at producing people that didn't talk and sung about the Holy Ghost. They knew how to walk in the Holy Ghost. They were good at producing people that didn't sit on their blessed assurance, but they cared that others were going to hell. So maybe we may laugh at their style, but we can't laugh at the DNA that was in them. I'm here today because of the DNA that were in those men, that they preached a gospel that could change you. They released the Holy Ghost in a way that you felt changed. Woo! I like that. It's my new move. I'm going to take it back to England and spread that. We got to look at the fruit that was produced. And we need to ask ourselves, when heaven considers and quantifies us, does heaven quantify our success as it did in some of those old-fashioned churches? Because what matters to heaven isn't lighting. I'm not against that stuff. We've got great lighting. It's not jazziness and cazziness or skinny jeans, though I own a pair. And they look good. Heaven quantifies success by, are we seeing lives transformed? Are we seeing lives reached? Are we seeing the lives that we've reached made into disciples? I want to begin to quantify the success of the ministry by how heaven does it. Amen? Now, God's been doing a number on me for a couple of years now. And He really has put in me a desire to rediscover some of the things that I've lost on my journey to be a modern minister. Now, it's not about clothing or style or hair gel. It's about what matters to us. As we build church in our layer, because that's all we are, we're one layer. Yeah, we might be the layer that ends up getting the top coat of frosting. I don't know. Jesus could come back on our layer. But if He doesn't, we need to lay a platform for the layer that's coming upon us. We need to make sure that the ingredients are able to change the life of people that encounter Christ. And so I've been kind of thinking this stuff through. And then all of a sudden I had this dream. And you know when you have one of those dreams, and you know the difference between pizza, right? And when it's God speaking, some don't. I've heard some really strange stuff that God did, said apparently. But most of us know how to distinguish a God dream from a pizza dream. The pizza dreams have little rabbits and bunnies jumping for no purpose. That's one indicator for you if you're wanting to pursue the understanding of dreams. I will write a book on it one day. It'll be amazing. I had this dream, and it was a God dream. And in this dream, this was in the middle of what God was trying to speak about, a message for me, for my nation, not just for my city. And man, from the moment I activated and said, God, that's what I want, the attack that came on my life was amazing and still is, which means I must have found something that's valuable, because the enemy doesn't attack what he doesn't want. The enemy doesn't attack what doesn't affect him. And in this dream, I was asleep like you are in a dream. Come on, I can't teach you everything. Time's limited, okay? If I wasn't asleep, it would have been a vision. I'll do a class on that next time I come. But now just stay with me and believe. He's able. So, it's the groove. It's the groove. In this dream, I was asleep because it was a dream. And in this dream, I didn't know I was asleep because it was a dream, and I didn't know I dropped off. I could have been awake, but I wasn't. Anyway, this is too deep for some of you. I was asleep. And in this dream, I was in this house. I knew it wasn't my house. It was a house that I had authority in. And I was walking around this house, and I knew this house very well. It was a familiar house. And in this house, I suddenly came to this trap door. And I hadn't seen the trap door before. And I lifted the trap door, and I found a room, a basement, in this house that I knew I had authority in, but it wasn't my house, but I knew this house. And as I went down into the basement, I found this room. And this room was filled with antiques. This room was filled with treasured possessions. There were sideboards and there were couches and there was furniture there. And when I looked at it, I thought, that's not reproduction. That's real. This stuff's valuable. What's it doing down here? And all of a sudden in this dream, I was drawn to a box of photographs on one of the tables. And I went over to that box of photographs and I started to go through. And they were photographs of my mother. Now, my mother's been in heaven for 7 years now. And that represented, later on, I understood, treasured possessions. I stood there in this dream looking at photos of my mum when she was young. Photos I'd never seen before in this dream. And all of a sudden, my elder, Wayne, came down the stairs. One of my elders, Wayne, came down the stairs and he said, "What's all this stuff, Andy?" And he's an elder that knew me since we were nine. We've been together in the same church. He's been walking with God a lot of years. And he said to me, "What's all this stuff doing down here, Andy?" I said, "I don't know, Wayne. I'm looking around and I'm seeing furniture and antiques and treasured possessions." And all of a sudden I woke up and I said, "Lord, what was that dream about?" And as clear as anything, I felt the Spirit of God say to me, "I want you to bring up from the basement some treasured possessions. I want you to come down into the basement and find some things about me that change lives, that matter to me, that are still important. I'm not talking about style. I want you to bring up in this generation some things from the basement that the modern church thinks it can live without, but it can't live without them. These are things that have been in every layer of the cake and they desperately need to be in this layer that we represent." You know, when we talk about bringing things up from church history or things that matter to the church years ago, people can begin to say, "But if we do that, we'll lose relevance." I want to put to you that keeping Jesus and his Spirit central is relevance. We don't make Jesus relevant. We don't make Jesus. Jesus is relevant through every generation. As we set our hearts on revealing Christ to this generation and not being embarrassed of the Holy Spirit, we set relevance up to be to this generation what it was to everyone that's gone before. The issue isn't about content denial. It's really an issue of us having the courage and the wisdom to bring up from the basement in our generation things that change lives and have the wisdom to repackage them and not bring them up like they went down. Because what I'm saying to you, this is where relevance comes in and modern thought comes in. We can't touch content because content changes lives. But God gives us permission to play with the packaging, the language we use, the way that some of the gifts and the stuff of the Holy Ghost affected us that went many years ago. It's still the power of God to change lives. Let me give you an example. The way that I was introduced to prophecy was terrifying. People changed their voice, their body postures. You'd be just talking to someone, "Hey, how you doing?" And they'd get a word for you. What's happening? I mean, you'd been sitting with them for a while and they'd been fine. You were with them in McDonald's and they didn't go and go, "Chair fries!" But suddenly they got a prophetic word. They reached into the tool box of the Holy Ghost and pulled out. And all of a sudden, they're speaking King James English at you. They seize you and grab your head like a cantaloupe melon.
Close your eyes. What's going on?
What's happening to you? And if they think you're not going to believe them, they just add on the end, "Thus says the Lord." Which means, shut up. Your opinion doesn't matter here. I'm signing off with God. You ain't going to trump God, baby. That packaging won't work. I was in Chicago yesterday and there was a man using that packaging. Now, he was a nut job, I think. But it was very fun to watch. He had a rod like Moses. This critter, he had it all. He had it all. And I was like, I want you come to Empower so I can show people what I mean when I say, stop it. Is it any less prophecy if somebody doesn't change their voice and says, "You know what? I reckon God wants to say something. I reckon I've got something from God for you. Listen, you go ahead and pray it through. I'm not going to thus says the Lord this. I'm saving that for words for nations, all right?" Go and pray about it. See if it works. Is that any less prophecy? That's what I'm talking about when I speak about repackaging. So where am I? I'm in a controlled reverse maneuver where I'm actually revisiting some things that I know that I need back in me and what I need back in the church that I lead. Things like teaching people the full armor of God, teaching people that old stuff that we learned, that when you get up, you've got to have the full armor of God, that, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth. That stuff still works. The Great Commission, a passion on making disciples, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying for sick people. And not being content with sympathetic smiles and empathetic statements when God's saying, get your hand on them in a non-weird way. And believe the word when it says they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. We need to bring this stuff back up. I don't know. I get so agitated these days and I don't want to give sick people empathetic, nice statements. I want to pray for them, not, but I want to get my hands on them. Say, I believe in a God that heals. He's my healer. Amen. He's my healer. He's your healer too. So I'm kind of teeing up this weekend to say that Empower Conference, it must be a conference that empowers people to be what God called them to be and to do what God called them to do. This conference isn't me the best you, you the best me, who are we anyway? It's come on, let's let God get all over us. Let's let God back into the cake. Let's let God begin to bring back in to our room from things from the basement that are powerful. One of my favorite verses again has become Acts 1. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Listen, I'm going to preach for another 4.5 hours. It's going to be amazing. And for those who remain. No, it's not going to be 4.5, just 2. And I want to believe that tonight we could have some time for the Holy Spirit again. Now, I know I ain't going to get any resistance because this is a Holy Ghost house. Amen. No one's embarrassed. I know this. I've preached here too many times. I've preached here too many times. Smoking. You guys are, you love it. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We've got to make sure that our fear of weird doesn't stop us moving in the power of the Spirit like God wants us to move in. There will be weirdos. But being afraid of weirdos shouldn't make the 98% or the 99% that remain not be instructed, encouraged, and given an environment and an atmosphere to experience what many of us experienced in, when we look back, really wacky meetings. But God was in that. I want the folk that I'm influencing, that God's given me to influence, to be knowing and moving in the power of spiritual things again in their everyday lives, praying for sick people in their world and not giving them excuses. You know what I call this? I call it a divine movement from stage to people. Somewhere over the last few years, we moved from being a Book of Acts church where everyone was responsible, everyone was a minister, everyone could pray for the sick, everyone could know the gifts of the Spirit in their life, to becoming a celebrity stage where we come to conferences to experience the select few that can. That's garbage. The Holy Ghost is for everyone, and the tools of the Spirit are for everyone. Yeah, we got to control weird. Yeah, we got to protect people from weird people. But we desperately need the power of the Holy Ghost and the tools of the Holy Ghost back into. This is my battle cry. Let's give the church back to Jesus and the power back to the people. Come on, don't be scared. Let's give the church back to Jesus and the power back to the people. Oh, I believe in Ephesians 4, I believe that the Bible says that God gave gifts and offices of ministry, but I also believe that there's a difference between an office of ministry and the lifestyle of a believer. And what we need in this reformation isn't more people on stage acting like fortune tellers and preaching with charisma that often hasn't got any anointing. Because the funny thing about working for God is it is all about character if you want anointing. Being a minister is the only job where the boss can sack you and you can keep on working. We don't want any of that. I want the anointing. I want the power of God. But I want to be doing what Ephesians 4 says. It doesn't say, and the offices are for you to perform on a stage. It says that you got to equip the saints for works of ministry. That the offices aren't there to be worshipped and sat on special chairs. They're there to equip the saints for works of ministry. That word works means to do God's business, ergon, God's business. The job of the pastor, the apostle, the teacher, the preacher, the evangelist isn't to have their moment. It's to use the office that God's given them to develop the lifestyle of those following them. Come on, we got to get a reformation back in the house of God. There's a difference of the office of the prophet, but all can prophesy. Paul said, you should earnestly desire spiritual gifts. He wasn't saying that to church leadership. He was saying it to every believer. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you could prophesy. No, that you would have a prophetic edge. Whether you're in business, Daniel had a prophetic edge in business. If you're in ministry, come on, let's stop falling over things we shouldn't fall over because we didn't listen to God warning us and foretelling us. Come on, what about the evangelist? It's not the evangelist's job to get everybody saved. Every one of us are commissioned to evangelism in our individual worlds. And then there's the office of the evangelist who's there for training. It's the same with the prophetic. It's the same with teaching. We got to be spreading the anointing and the abilities of God into the people. Otherwise, we never will change our communities. Every person in the book of Acts that was saved, baptized, and drenched in the Holy Ghost walked around with a toolbox at any moment they could reach in. We've taken the gifts of the Spirit or the tools of the Spirit, and we've made them weird things we collect, like toys from a cereal box. Oh, I've got prophecy, don't you know? What? Oh, I've only got two more to collect and then I'll have the whole set. Shut up. That's English. That's polite. Shut up. What's the best tool of the Spirit? The one you need in the moment. That's why I don't want to specialize. I don't want to specialize. I want to generalize and be able to reach into a box and pull out new things and old things from the store of my life because I am one of his word lovers that's become a disciple. Amen. Says those people are able to pull out old and new. Amen. Everybody enjoying this tonight? Come on, let's spread again. Let's empower people again. Yep, let's control weirdos. But weirdos are just a few. Anointed saints are many. Why do we not further empower God's anointed people and deal with weirdos and disciple them as we need to? Come on, you never throw a weirdo out of the church before you first try to disciple them. Because some weirdos are only weird because they've been discipled into weirdness. Right? They were raised by a weirdo. But if you can break the influence of the weirdo of them and get the Holy Ghost in them, they stop being weird and they start being normal. And they're good people. Central to Reformation, to me, and let me begin to finish with this, and that could be a long ending. But I just want to relax you by saying begin to end. Listen, I've not got anything new to say, but I don't believe the church needs anything new. I haven't got a new system and 87 principles on how. I've got none of that. I don't want any of that. I'm tired of all of that. I want to get some of the treasure out of the basement and back into the glorious modern church because she is glorious. She's got great equipment and she's got gadgets that the Apostle Paul would have loved. He wouldn't have said, take the gadgets, because he didn't talk like that. He wouldn't say take the, he'd use everything for the kingdom. We just got to make sure we're being true to the recipe. All right, let's begin to bring this to an end. Central to Reformation will always be the ministry of the Word and the ministry of the Spirit. Oh, let's just keep loving the Word and the Spirit. Let's just stay in love with the ministry of the Word, because it's the ministry of the Word and it's the ministry of the Spirit that transform a life. You know, that word transform, metamorpho, it's used three times in the New Testament, one of when Jesus transfigured. And that was about him and God in him shining out. But the other two times that it's used, I might share this on Sunday morning. I might not. A lot can happen from now till then. The other two times, it's not about him, it's about us. It's about him in us. And it says the ministry of the Word renews our mind and causes, not modification where we suppress behavior until we can't do it anymore, but transformation where there's a new nature in us. Shine. But also then it says that with unveiled faces, we now have the Holy Ghost in us, amen? And his ministry is transforming. Oh, if time allowed, I'd tell you about some of the guys in our church, like Sean Finch and Reza and those guys. You know, this guy Reza, he was a full-on Muslim. He didn't want to be a Christian. And he was in Ramadan, and all of a sudden, Jesus turns up and tells him to come to family church. You don't need social media when you've got that kind of advertising. Oh, I've got to tweet somebody. And so he came to church, was gloriously born again. Brought his wife, she got gloriously born again. The whole family. And he was in Ramadan and he was really happy because after we led him to the Lord, we took him out to eat. He loved that. He loved that. He got baptized week three. He was serving week four. He was serving week one. By week five, he'd got his sister in Iran born again and she was watching our TV broadcast in secret. That's transformation. Come on, I'm going old school again. It's when a person can stand there and know and sing, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And you know you're changed. Oh, we've got to keep preaching the Word when other people want to replace it with principles. We've got to not apologize for the Word when it offends, because that offense will bring life. We've got to let the Word and the Spirit dance together and again. You know, recently I was sitting in a helicopter simulator, like you do. And I was sitting in a helicopter simulator in the dockyard in a naval place near where I live. I was taking the kids, but I let them have a go and then it was my turn. My kids, come on, go and do something. This is my turn. And you got to all the pedals, you got to land the thing and everything like that. And I suddenly discovered something really powerful that pilots and helicopter flyers, whatever they're called, they're pilots too, right? Okay, I didn't know if it was the same in America. They don't look out the window to fly. They rely on the dials that are in front of them. You say we do look out the window sometimes, but they don't rely on what they see out the window, because they could look out the window and there could be fog. They rely on the dials that are in front of them. And when I looked at these dials in this helicopter simulator, I realized that there was a really couple of important dials. I didn't know what they all did. And there was one, and that dial taught you how high you were flying you needed to fly to avoid the things that were coming. And the other dial, it told you when you were flying straight so that you wouldn't crash or bend your plane. Listen, guys, in the new creation cockpit of who we are, there's two dials we need to be concentrating on. We need to be looking to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to show us how high we should be flying, at what altitude we should be living. And we need to, at the same time, be living by the dial of the Word of God, because the Word of God will keep you straight on course for everything that God's got for you. There's too many Christians looking out the window and they wonder why they keep crashing. There's too many Christians trying to fly their life by what they see and what they hear instead of flying by those two dials that never change, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Listen, this weekend, it's about the Word of God and it's about the Spirit of God. We've got no new gadgets to replace them. Do we really give them the position they deserve in the churches we lead and the lives that we live? They're always the ingredients of every reformation that's been before. If you study reformation, you see that it was when the Word and the Spirit were put back in their proper place that reformation broke out, that changed cities in moments when revival couldn't do it in years. Listen, we need to again love the Word of God and realize that we're spiritual people reading a spiritual book. We're not natural people reading a spiritual book, and we're not spiritual people reading a natural book. We are spiritual people, spirit-filled people reading a spirit-filled book, and that book will give you the power. Where the word of a king is, there's power. There's power in that book, and when that book gets in your heart and on your lips, suddenly things around you begin to transform. Or we can have poems and principles that really don't change much at all, though they're very cute to listen to. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, the great English plumber that used to, like, remember he used to punch people in the stomach. I love a little bit of that. Especially when people don't see it coming. And they're like, whoa! And you wait to see if you got it right. And if you don't, you kind of, oh, yeah, sorry about that. But sometimes people are polite, they pretend, no, that was good. You want some more? No, I'm good, thanks. Come on, let me punch you in the face, Sergeant. Nah. Anyway, Smith Wigglesworth, if you don't know about him, he was an interesting guy, uneducated plumper. That's Dutch for plumber. Sometimes I drift into Dutch, and I don't mean to. It's just so much going on in here sometimes. Pumper, it's like a Dutch offshoot dialect. Anyway, moving on. He foretold in an old prophecy of three moves of God. The final one would bring in or host in what God included as his zenith or his crescendo. And he said there'll be a refiring or a reinstituting of the love of the word of God in the house of God. I believe that's not what we're waiting for. I believe that that's been. And then there was a reinstituting of the ministry of the Spirit in the church. But he said then that what happens next is greater than all. He said all of a sudden the ministry of the word and the Spirit will be allowed to dance again. And when they begin to dance again, that's when you'll see lives transformed, lives turned inside out. We've got to give the word of God that place in our lives again in the 21st century. But it's again the sword and the lamp and the bread. It's the sword in our hand in every situation. Not just defensive, but offensive too, against every plan of the enemy. This is old school. I've got nothing for you tonight that's new, because I don't want nothing new. I'm in a controlled reverse maneuver. I want to know the word of God as the lamp unto my feet, the light unto my way again. I want the word of God to be the bread. The man doesn't live by bread alone. Even in the 21st century, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds is recorded in your word. Love your Bible again. Love your Bible. Sorry you came all this way to hear that, but let me say it again. Love your Bible. Take it from the bookshelf, put it on your kitchen table. You know, bring it to church on Sunday. Gadgets and gizmos are great, but they don't. It's not that. Get the book. You can write all over it legacies that then you can hand to your children. You need a Bible. You need to love your Bible. I've got a campaign at the moment in family church. It's a little bit saucy. It's called, and whip it out in public. You'll never forget that, see? See what I did there? I was in an airport recently, and I was going to Scotland to preach, and I suddenly found out I was preaching about three times more than what I thought. So all of a sudden, I whipped out the Bible and started to read it in the airport. It wasn't kind of, hey, look at me, this is my burqa. You know, it wasn't like deliberate, offensive maneuver. I just needed to get some messages ready. And I started to get some messages ready. Sorry, have we got any Muslims here? Did that offend you? Let me say it again. This is my burqa. Come on, other people aren't ashamed of what represents the one they say they love. Why are we ashamed of our Bibles? Why are we ashamed? Come on, in the old days you had a big fat yellow sticker, Jesus loves you. Where are them? Bring them back. I'm not wearing one, but bring them back. New life in Jesus, the sticker was that big and the Bible was like that big. Encompassed it. But I remember when I was reading the Bible in the airport, suddenly I looked up and everyone in the airport around me was watching me. Come on, let's begin to take the Bible out with us to work. Let's begin to take the Bible with us and treat it like the lamp and the light in our life, the bread of life to us, amen, and the sword in our hands. And the ministry of the Spirit, what should that look like today? What should the ministry of the Spirit look like today? The same as what it did in the primitive church, because it's the same Spirit. He's the same Spirit. We haven't received a new version, an upload, a bolt-on. We've received the Holy Spirit, the person, the third person of the Godhead. He's as alive in us as he was in Paul and Peter and John. The difference is they believed it and they acknowledged him in their everyday life. Oh, that we would begin to acknowledge him again in our everyday life. That's when you'll begin to experience a transformation in your life and around your life. We've got to wake up. You know, the Bible says, I've written a verse here. It's one of my favorite little tongue twisters recently. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2 says this. Let the man who says he knows, let him know he doesn't know as he ought. It's genius, isn't it? Let the man who says he knows, let him know he doesn't know as he ought. Think about that. Because as the modern church, we're just so good at telling everyone what we think we know. Well, I know this about God and I've been saved for... Let the man who says he knows, let him know he probably doesn't know as he ought to. Listen, I don't want to know about the Holy Ghost in my head. I want to know about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't want to live with head knowledge. I want to live with revelation knowledge. What you know affects what you do. If you knew that you were now the temple of the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't need to put filters on your computer to stop you watching porn. You wouldn't want the Holy Spirit to look through your eyes and sin that. We need to realize maybe we don't know like we say we do. And we desperately need God to awaken us so that we're conscious again of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That Jesus didn't say he would be with you. He said he would be with you and he would be in you. It's good for you that I go. I will not leave you as orphans. I will send my Spirit. He will make home with you. He will be in you, not just with you. So maybe some of these guys that were sitting in many classes and they don't seem to be learning anything, maybe we need to make sure they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Being led by the Spirit like Romans teaches us and living in the power of the Spirit like Acts instructs us. We need to realize his indwelling presence is all we need. And when we allow in our lives the two dials to be in control of our life, when we look into the Spirit concerning how high we fly in the altitude of who we are, and we look into his word, and we're saying, Lord, show me how to fly straight. Show me how to fly true. Or when we begin to use both dials, whether you've been saved a week or for 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, suddenly your life begins to experience transformation. I don't want to see people saved in our older queues and not living for Christ 4 months later. I'm tired of people being wondrously delivered and then going back to the filth that Jesus set them free from. There's got to be more for people than that. There was for us, so why don't we offer the same to this generation as we were able to partake in? Let me just close with this. It's good to have a good friend of mine with me, Pastor Mike Petzer from Tucson, Arizona. He can only be with us tonight. He's flying back in the morning, but I'm so glad that he came tonight. He was. We had some brilliant meetings in Tucson, didn't we, Pastor Mike? And I was teaching something that I didn't know. And Pastor Mike's an incredible teacher of the word, a great theologian, not in a religious sense, in a new covenant, powerful God sense. And I just love the wisdom that God gives you in your friends and just how it all mixes together. Amen. And I was preaching the other night and I was just sharing on how God just gave me this image of the word and the Holy Spirit. In Genesis, in the beginning, there was a dance that began. God spoke into void. And the moment he spoke, the Spirit began to create. And way back in the very beginning of time, a dance began. And it was never meant to be interrupted. Because when the Word and the Spirit danced together in newborn nothingness, as they danced in this synergetic dance, horizons were made. Sunsets were thrown. As the Father watched and spoke his word, and the Spirit embraced the word, and they began to dance. Things were thrown out. Universes, stars, mountain ranges.
The more they danced, the more things came into being according to the will and the desire of the Father. I remember seeing this image, and it was like a ballroom dance floor, and I just got this picture of what it was like in the beginning of time when the Word and the Spirit danced ferociously yet romantically and in an incredible way together. How things were thrown into being. And then I felt the Spirit of God say, people don't realize that the dance floor is now in them. And the same Word and the same Spirit want to now not dance in the void of early creation, but they want to dance within you. And as you're living in the Word, this is so old-fashioned, but it works. As you're living in the Word and loving the Word, and you're acknowledging daily that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, He's not external to you, but He's living within. You are His zip code. And you allow the Word and the Spirit. Suddenly it's not external horizons, but internal transformations. But suddenly things begin to create in you. And things begin to be formed around you. Members of the jury, I leave with you tonight the simplest of thoughts. Let us not belittle or hate the gadgets that we have and the technology that we've been given. But let us never replace the things that matter with those things. Let them only ever complement the things that matter to God. Because what changes a life in my experience is when the Word and the Spirit dance. Come on, dance, Word and Spirit in my life. Dance, Word and Spirit in my life. I was sharing this, and Pastor Mike said to me afterwards that theologians speak about a certain word. I can't even pronounce it, but it's a good word. And what's the word that's taken from it, Pastor Mike? Perichoresis. And the word that comes from that is choreography. And they say that theologians study the ministry of the Word and the Spirit in the beginning. And this word describes it. And from that word comes choreography. The dance. Maybe the next 24 hours, there could be a new dance. As we lay aside the things that don't matter and we say, yeah, we'll pick you up later when we need you. Holy Ghost, we need you. Holy Ghost, thank you that we don't visit you on Sundays. Thank you. Can't you feel him here tonight? Listen, God wants you to feel him in your home like you feel him right now. Why does the church go round in circles and then we come back to what we forgot? Was it about 20 years ago a guy wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and the thing went widespread? Such a thin little book. With just a reminding truth. He's with you. He's with you. When you leave tonight, he's with you. Remember the old hymn? You are not alone. He is here with you. Ooh. Come on, he's not alone. You're not alone. He's here with you. He never leaves you or ever forsakes you. If we could know that in our lives in a new way. If we could know that. So often people were like, oh, the pressure of everything around me is crushing me. Do you not realize the power that's within you pushing out? Come on, we spend hours talking to people, helping them to manage the pressure that's pushing from the inside out. When the British Navy made submarines, what they discovered was when you put an iron ship in the ocean and sink it, suddenly the pressure of the ocean crushes it like a tin can from the outside in. So the engineers came up with a great plan. Let's just put a greater pressure on the inside pushing out than the pressure on the outside. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are the temple tonight. If you're spirit-filled, if you're a Christian, wave your hand. Come on. Somebody said to me recently, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. They said, are you a spirit-filled Christian? I said, I didn't know there was another variety. Forgive me for my ignorance. Because the Bible says those who are born of the Spirit belong to God. Amen. They're His kids. Come on, we believe that the Spirit comes to live. When you pray, Jesus, come into my heart, what did you think happened? He didn't get off the throne, my friend. But he sent his Spirit at that very moment. And we also believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when God lights the ripcord. He pulls the ripcord in you and you're done. You're a done deal. You're a loon. You're a Christian loon and it's fun. Come on, he never said you must be bored again. Some of you just need the Holy Ghost to get you into some trouble. Someone said, oh, Christianity's boring. I said, listen, I've been many things. I've been terrified, afraid, downright scared, and I've never been bored. Not from the moment the Holy... Come on, can't you feel him inside of you tonight? Can't you feel him inside of you? God wants to break out through. He wants... Do you know how big God is in you right now? Oh, I just need 20 hours of counseling. Respectfully, let me... In England, English, we would say, shut up. Now, counseling has its place, but not a replacement of helping people to understand that the Holy Ghost is now in them. Because if we make them dependent on counsel, then they've got to keep coming to us. If we make them dependent on the one who now lives in them, the Son sets them free and they're free indeed. They're only a captive if they forget. Oh, we're going to pray for some people tonight. Because I just reckon the Holy Ghost wants to introduce himself afresh to you. He wants to break out in you and begin to crack open some of his stuff. Do you know how big God is in you right now? Do you know the capacity of the human spirit? If one man could hold a legion of devils in him, how much God can you hold? Let me say again. How much God do you hold? But tonight you're realizing, penny dropping, boom, power's coming back on. A friend of mine, I'm going to close with this. That's why I asked for Friday night. Tomorrow the meetings are so back to back. I was like, give me Friday night. Give me Friday night. A friend of mine was standing in Shea Stadium and he was looking at the arena and he was watching the game and he was looking at all the people standing around. And he felt God speak to him in that moment. And he said, this place isn't big enough to hold the fullness of who I am. And he was like, whoa. But then God said, but I'm willingly contained in you. You are not alone. Come on, when Paul visited the Corinthian church, they were messing up like a bunch of wallies because they didn't realize they were no longer mere men. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost, help us to understand tonight. But when I'm not a mere cat, I'm not a mere anything. I love mere cats. That's not me. But I'm not a mere man either. I was, but then I entered into the fullness of the salvation that Christ provided, where I died and was reborn. Now I'm a Holy Ghost temple, and so are you. Oh, you're talking about the No, I'm talking about you. Tag you, it's you. Come on, the Holy Spirit's leaving the stage tonight. Tag you, and you, little cutie. Tag you. Come on, the Holy Ghost doesn't live on the stage. And you cameramen trying to hide from me, I'll get you. I know where you live. Come on, the Holy Ghost is not on the stage. He's in you. He's in you. And he's saying, give me some words so I can dance. I can dance. And begin to release some power in you and through you. If you don't know you got the fire in you, you can't have the fire coming from you. But the moment you realize you're a light on the inside, suddenly you're like, give me a sick person. Bring me one. Find me one. We weren't called to be normal anything. Normals are sitting on a washing machine. I want to be a part of a church, but when we turn up, they don't put the kettle on. They say, oh no. These men that turned, these women that turned the world upside down. Now they're here. Now they're here. You're here. Listen, we are delivering ministry from the stage alone, and we're giving the power back to the people. If you're a weirdo, enough said. You know. But if you're not, come on, get fired up in the Holy Ghost. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. If he live in you, he doth live in me, King James. When he quickeneth the mortal body. Come on, he's not talking about dealing with some ulcers. He's talking about when the spirit, he quickens everything about you. Some of you will even be able to sing in tune. It'll be amazing. You'll be able to clap. You'll have coordination. It'll be awesome. Like, I've seen you, the same people, but when you go for an ice cream, you go, I've seen you. Get the Holy Ghost in that and things begin to happen. Amen. Oh, Holy Ghost, shake us up. Shake us up. Shake us up. Come on, we've been doing people an injustice by teaching that the Holy Spirit is an atmosphere. He's a person. He's not an atmosphere you step into. That's the presence of God. He's a person that was with you when you woke up this morning. When Jesus said, I'll never leave you and forsake you, he wasn't speaking of himself because he's in heaven. He was speaking of the Spirit that's with us now. Come on, I'm just stirring. Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame. All I'm doing right now is I finished my message, Adam. I'm fanning into flame. I'm fanning into flame. I want you to have a full Holy Ghost tsunami on the inside out tonight. I want you something to hit you that you're not dependent on me touching you or squeezing your head like a cantaloupe melon till you fall over. But something in you rises up. But we've got to change our whole understanding, because I was raised in a church where the Holy Spirit was a moment. You watch Christian TV and a lot of it, the Holy Ghost is a moment. Suddenly, the meeting's going and the choir, come on, choir. Oh, and she starts. And there's, hallelujah, hallelujah. Suddenly, she starts higher. Hallelujah. I don't know where that's coming from. Hallelujah. That's scary. Hallelujah. Higher. No. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the pastor drifts on like he's got no feet. And then he says this. He's here. Where was he? Was he in the foyer waiting for that? And he said, no! Let's break this ignorance. And stand up to the truth that we're spirit-filled people. The Holy Ghost is alive in us. Come on, just stand to your feet right now. Just begin to welcome the Holy Spirit in your life right now. Right now, just begin to lift your hands. Just begin to lift your hands. Come on, let's get some musicians. Just begin to lift your hands before they even come. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Begin to worship Jesus Christ. Come on, if we only worship when we have musicians, we're missing the point. They should complement our worship, not govern it. Come on, I want to hear every believer worshiping Jesus Christ tonight. I want you reaching out to God for a fresh move of His Spirit in you tonight. Kura basanda bakia lamanda. Surianda sikia tataya. Sondora basaya bakanda. Uraba sanda bareverianda. Call me old fashioned, I love it. Sanda caramando sebea. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't be drunk with other stuff. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just lift your hands right now. Fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit right now, bubbling out of your belly. Bubbling out of your belly right now. Jesus said, out of your innermost being would begin to flow rivers of living water. Come on, don't wait for something to land on you. Let something well up in you tonight. The Spirit of God's not just outside of you. He's in you. You're His temple right now. You know, Jesus said on the last day of a great feast, Jesus stood up and He said this, come to me, everyone who's thirsty.
Come to me, everyone who thirsts. This is the Savior. And drink. And out of your innermost being will begin to flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Spirit that was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. I've got a secret. He's glorified. He's glorified. The book of Acts says that the Spirit's been poured out. He's in you tonight. As you begin to concentrate on the fact that He is in you, the rivers begin to flow. The rivers begin to flow. Father, I thank you that right now you just begin to fill people afresh with the Holy Ghost. Father, those that have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, overwhelm them now. Overwhelm them now. The word baptism means overwhelmed. Come on, you've been overwhelmed by fears, overwhelmed by debt, overwhelmed by drugs. Let the Holy Ghost overwhelm you right now. Be filled with, there is such a powerful presence and anointing of God in this room right now. If you're here tonight and you say, I've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or I don't believe I've ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come out of your chair right now and come forward. Come forward right now. If you're here tonight and you say, I stopped believing in the Holy Ghost, I need to be filled again, come out of your chair right now. Come fill this area. Come on, the baptism of the Holy Ghost isn't a one-off. So there's nobody. Come on, the Holy Ghost isn't a one-off. It says, be being filled. I want to see who's hungry. If you want a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost, you come now. I'm not going to be long, so you got to know if you want it or not. If you are so filled with the Holy Ghost, it's ridiculous, then you don't come. But if you say, I've run dry. I don't know if I've ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I did, but it stopped, and I want it back. I want Him back. You come right now. You come right now. Listen, this isn't about me. It's about Him. It's about Him. He wants you to be overflowing tonight. Come, come, come. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, or you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, you come right now. I don't care how long you've been in ministry. Are you living the Spirit-filled life? If not, get up. Come here now. We're going to let the Word and the Spirit dance tonight. We're going to let the Word and the Spirit dance. Come on, there's more. You really want to miss out? Come on, come on, come on. What you got to lose? You got nothing to lose. I'm talking to people, and you were once filled with the Spirit, but you just haven't been living it. Come forward now, come forward now. Holy Ghost wants to break out inside of you tonight. There's about another 16 people, and I'm not going to force you, but it would be sad if you know God's speaking to you and you let pride stop you. That would be sad. Don't let pride rob you. Come on out. No one's looking at you. We're going to worship in a moment. I'm believing for a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. I've had a rough day. I've had a rough couple of days. I want a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm not going to hold back much longer. Come on, come on. He said, be filled, be filled. Be endued with power. So caramando rebeberi andaya sabaka. Morembe semende kialamandoso. Lia la barra vabose. Stewards, can we get some more people in the middle here? We've got a kind of empty bit here. Can we move some people in? Move them in from the outsides and bring them in. Pastor Kevin. If I say the ministry team, the people know who they are, right? I want all of the pastors on the front row and the ministry team that Pastor Kevin has designated as a ministry team. I want you to come and begin to lay hands on these people right now and just release the power of the Holy Ghost right now, right now. I want you, if you're a part of the ministry team, push in. Don't be polite. The Holy Ghost is not polite. Push in. I want all the ministers that are here, and I want you to begin to pray right now. I'm going to pray from the front, but I want you to lay hands and touch as many people as you can. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right, stop the music a second. Every one of you, look at me right now. You ready? Pray this after me. Lord, thank you for giving the Holy Spirit. I welcome him. I welcome him afresh into my life with his toolbox and his power. I want to be conscious like I've never been before of the indwelling life of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Break every chain and let me know freedom. Let the word and the spirit dance again. Right now, ministers, begin to pray for them. Musicians, begin to pray. Everybody else in this room, lift your hands. Get a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost tonight. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Come on, let's just begin to minister to these people. Every one of them needs a divine experience filled with the Holy Ghost. Be 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 filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, ministers, every one of them, I want them laid hands on. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, be filled with the Holy Ghost. I lay hands on you. And I release a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. I release a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. I release a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Fill him up. 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 Out of their bellies, rivers of living water. Out of their bellies, rivers of living water. Out of their bellies, rivers of living water. Out of their bellies, just speak in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let his language surge through you. Riba baba baramando sabara matia kabara masote shende sekia lamanda. Come on, let those tongues begin to go. If you never speak in tongues, go ahead and speak. He's given it to you. If you've never spoken in tongues, go ahead and speak. He's given it. When you asked, he gave it to you. Come on, all over this hall, let's begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's begin to worship and love on God tonight. Let your word and your spirit dance in us tonight, oh God. Let your word and your spirit dance in us tonight, Lord God. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine and other stuff. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning his spirit. Out of your innermost being right now, rivers of living water. Some are laughing, some are crying. That's awesome. That's the Holy Ghost ministering to people tonight. Breaking the chains, breaking the chains, breaking the chains. Be filled, be filled. I believe that the Holy Ghost is healing people right now all over this room. The Holy Ghost is breaking the power of things that held you. He's breaking the power of addiction. He's breaking the power of low self-esteem. He's breaking the power of things that have held you too long. Listen, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Right now, the Spirit of God is in you according to the Bible. Which means there's an outbreak of a Holy Ghost freedom in your life right now. Right now, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Karababando seberi andaya. Shemaya karamando sebeki anda. Don't worry if they've been prayed for once. Pray for them again. Make sure that everyone gets hands laid on them tonight. Fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. Come on, let him fill your cup up tonight. Let him fill your cup up tonight. Let your cup run over. Let your cup run over. Filled, filled, filled. Be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Be filled with the Holy Ghost from the front to the back, from the left to the right. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a river of life flooding out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me tonight. And it's flowing out of you too. Just let that river bubble up inside of you. Let that river bubble up inside of you tonight. Oh, the river of God is breaking dams tonight. It's pulling down fences tonight. Come on, don't resist him. Don't resist him. He'll never hurt you. He'll never harm you. Jump on in. The water's lovely. Let the Holy Ghost loose in your life tonight. Come on, if you've got to put something on the altar, put it on the altar. If you need to stop something, stop it. Get hungry for the Holy Ghost. He burns like fire. He burns like fire. In a moment, things that wouldn't move are burnt away because he's a refiner's fire. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. He's a refiner's fire. He's a refiner's fire. He's a refiner's fire. Fire of God's in you. Fire of God's in you. He's a refiner's fire. Come on, so what? The time has gone. How hungry are you for God? The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They shall be filled. Come on, have some more tonight. Let the Holy Ghost loose in your life. Go beyond the boundaries. Robo se ki baramando rabasanda barabarabasondo. Sheka barabo bo 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 se. We just need another Pentecost. That's all we need in Rockford, in Roscoe, in England. We just need Pentecost, that spirit of Pentecost again, falling on the church. We've become too civilized. We've become too apologetic. We've become too normal. We just need some Holy Ghost chaos again. We just need some people that pray for sick people when they're at work and pray for sick people when they find them on the street. We need to break some of we just need some Holy Ghost life. Kunda rabasanda barabarabasia. Be filled. Be filled. You're saying, why are you carrying on? Because some people are so empty, they need some more filling. They want the cup overflowing. Come on, let him flood every part. Rebeki sanda, bore, semea, tataya, kosora, banda, sende, kialaman, dose, shiabaramanto, kebea, mondo, rabase, tea, roboha, sikaramando, rabasia, re se, makanda, rabasondo, rabase. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of tears, a lot of tears. That's just God doing stuff on the inside. Setting people free. Come on, if you're at the back, just love on God right now. We're going to, no spectators tonight. Everybody in the river. In the river. Kurabasanda baraverebedianda. We break the power of the enemy off of every life that he's had control of. We break the power of addiction off of lives. We break the power of fear off of lives. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, not captivity. There is liberty, not captivity. Right now, of outbreak of the freedom of God. In you, in you, in you. Not just on you, in you, in you. Bura masanda. Shekea samba. Bura masondo. Just believe God for a new tongue right now. If your old one got rusty, just believe God and thank God for a new one. Beriando rabasandaya bake. I was in a meeting a while ago and I spoke fluent Spanish and I never learned it. And in the middle, I was speaking fluent Spanish and I'd never learned it. And I asked the guy, what am I saying? He said, you're saying, and the Spirit says, worship the Lord. And the Spirit says, worship the Lord. This is real. This is real. When God gives you a language, you're talking to God. He who speaks in a tongue edifies, strengthens himself. Come on, let's get old-fashioned and start praying in tongues every morning again. Let's get old-fashioned and start to pray in the Holy Ghost again.
Come on, let's get old-fashioned and start reading our Bibles again. Let's get old-fashioned and start worshiping when we're not in church again. Reba Sandaya. Got some worship for us? Should we have a little bit of He's Able?
We should.
Should we have a bit? Come on. Who wants a little bit of He's Able? We're going to let God keep ministering. Come on, let's worship Him some tonight. Would you like me to do it with you? No, I'll go then. Come on, let's worship Him tonight. He's able. He's able. Listen, the Bible also says that the Father's looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's not looking for those who have remembered all the words, who can sing in tune. The Father's looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's bring our lives before Him in truth tonight and begin to let the Holy Ghost lead us in our worship.
God Woo! Is able to do
That's
just
it.
What He said He would do.
Come on, somebody believe.
He
somebody believe.
Every promise to you.
Come on, somebody believe.
Don't give up on God.
Come on.
He won't give up.
Come on,
He's
somebody
able.
Believe it.
Yeah. He's able. He's able.
Come on.
He's able.
He's able.
Come on, thank God. God is able to do just what He said He would do.
Yes, He is.
He's gonna.
Yes,
don't
He is.
Up. Don't give up on God, cause He won't give up on you.
Here we go.
He's able. Yeah. Oh. He's able. Yes, He is. He's able. Come on. Say He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now here's the thing. God is doing a work. And He who's begun a good work will be faithful to complete it, right? So let the Lord continue to work tonight, tomorrow. God's not done, okay? This is the beginning of something. The Lord is going to build piece upon piece, line upon line,
precept upon precept. Please continue to come expectant tomorrow morning. You might say, oh, tonight, you know, that was awesome, but I still have this piece of my life that God needs to deal with. God's not done. And so you continue to come. And for some of you tonight, you've come and you've received and you've been baptized in the Spirit. Let God work that through even tonight as you go home. Don't just be done and leave the altar. Like, get in your car and let the Lord speak. You know, continue to pray. Use that gift. And tomorrow morning, use that gift. And let God, so many times, like Pastor Andy said, we think it's an event. Oh, service. It's not about the service. It's about your life. Okay? And this is all building your life. Tomorrow will continue to build your life. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, we're going to go right away because we've got so much happening tomorrow. It's going to go like this. And so please don't be late. Come expecting. Kids, if you're going to be checking your kids into Kids in Power, get here a little bit early. Get here like 8:30 or so. Get them checked in so that we can start on time because there's so much that God still has for you this weekend. Let me bless you and dismiss you. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you've begun. And we thank you that you're the one charting the course. And so, God, I thank you that there are all kinds of good things starting. And I thank you for all kinds of good things tomorrow in advance. God, we each lay hold of your promise. We each lay hold of your purpose for our life for this weekend. And we will be persistent. We will not let go. And we receive it by faith. And, Lord, we thank you tonight. Keep working on us, Jesus, even while we sleep. When we wake up in the morning. And Lord, I pray a covering over them as they go home, that they go home in great safety and blessing and rest so they can come back refreshed and ready to go. We bless them and we bless what you've begun. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.